a blessed Thanksgiving. Anybody here have turkey on Thanksgiving? I think Thanksgiving is one of the most, if not the most beautiful holiday of the year, if we truly understand what it was set out to do. When you go back and think of that first Thanksgiving in which the pilgrims sat together with the natives of this country, of this land, that different, in that moment, different cultures, different nations, different kinds of appetites came together in a moment of sharing Thanksgiving with a meal. And we continue in that tradition to this day. And unfortunately, somehow it has become commercialized. I was in my car on Wednesday driving back home, and there was a store that was advertising on the radio that it was going to be open on Thanksgiving Day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I said, how shameful is that? That it has become so commercialized that it becomes about making money. And on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, we were driving out to Pennsylvania Thursday evening, and I guess it was about 8 o'clock at night, and we crossed this place where they have outlet stores, and it was jam-packed on Thanksgiving Day. And I was saying, my goodness, didn't anybody sit down and finish that last piece of pumpkin pie? But here we are, and I pray that Thanksgiving doesn't just become, you know, a few-hour holiday, that we get to sit down with just some good food and some friends and family, but truly that it is the way we position our heart before the Lord. And I want to talk to you about that this morning, about allowing our hearts to become adjusted to gratitude. So I think I've entitled my sermon this morning, Attitude Adjustment to Be Thankful, and it's found in a very familiar portion of Scripture, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, and I'm going to read it to you this morning in the Amplified Version. We have it up there in just the way that it expresses itself. It kind of goes a little bit deeper and brings out a more expanded meaning of what the Scriptures are saying. It says here, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church, says, rejoice in the Lord always. Everybody say always. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, take delight. Take pleasure in him. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, your unselfishness, your mercy, your tolerance, your patience be known to all people. You know, during the holiday time of year, everybody should be joyful and exciting and, you know, and very patient, you would think. But it seems like everybody is impatient. Who's looking for that parking spot? Who needs to get that last thing in the aisle? Who's going to cut you off because they have to get somewhere? And impatience seems to be so relevant. And the Apostle Paul here is reminding us that we should have a gentle spirit. And that gentle spirit includes to be patient, to be known to all people. He says, the Lord is near. Oh, how that would change the way we pray. If we were to come to the realization that Jesus Christ is coming back, he says the Lord is near. The early disciples, the early church lived in that moment. They lived with that expectation that Jesus Christ could be coming back. His second coming was so very near and it could happen at any moment. That verse also tells us that as we pray, Jesus is near. The Holy Spirit comes near to us. He's there with us. Listen, you can be in a place where you're all by yourself, or you could be in the midst of a crowd somewhere. You could be traveling in a car or in mass transportation, or you could be in the confines of your home with people, but the Lord is near. The Lord is there. As we lift up, as the Holy Spirit just senses that our heart opens at a certain moment of time, He immediately draws close. He looks for that heart that opens up. Listen, even during a Thanksgiving meal with all the people that are around, with all the beauty that's happening at that moment, if your heart expresses joy and begins to just acknowledge the beauty of God in that moment, the Holy Spirit immediately comes in and He joins Himself to the prayer of our heart. As lengthy or as gentle as that prayer might be, He does that. He says, "The Lord is near. Don't be anxious or worried about anything." Hello? Don't be anxious or worried about anything. But in everything, in every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Say, "That peace is mine." Come on, say it with me. That peace is mine. That peace is mine. After Jesus rose from the dead in the resurrection, and He found those disciples so discouraged, cowering in that room, you know, just wondering, you know, what their next step was going to be. Jesus enters into that room. The very first words that Jesus speaks to His disciples are, "Peace be with you." Jesus leaves us with His peace. He adorns us with His peace. Listen, on any given day, you and I have opportunities to complain on a regular basis. And we see that when we just talked about, you know, those Black Friday, where everybody, you know, you think you would be content during the year, but on Black Friday you realize you're not content, you need more stuff. But at any given day, we can find ourselves complaining about something. But listen, complaining doesn't do any good. All complaining does is open the door for the enemy. It doesn't solve problems or make your problems go away. It just creates a breeding ground for greater problems. Listen, when I find people that complain, the more you complain, the greater complaints come out. You'll find something else to complain. A complaint breeds itself very quickly. You can find a lot of things to complain about by just, you know, beginning to look around and finding things that, you know, may not be really in the way that you see them or not be in your comfort zone or what have you. You begin to complain about things. But complaining only breeds greater problems. And instead of complaining, let's choose to respond to the Lord each day by developing an attitude that is shaped from gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this: "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I love that. In everything, give thanks. In situations that you're not accustomed to, in situations that you really aren't sure about, the Bible says that in good times and bad times and everything, give thanks unto the Lord, because this is the will of God concerning you and me. Paul is telling us, listen, when we're in the will of God, we can give thanks in everything in spite of the circumstantial setting, because we are confident that we are in the will of God and God is totally in control. When we understand that God is in control, that we are in the will of God, and that these situations are surrounding us, we may not understand them. They might try to bring fear into our lives, but we know we are in the will of God. And when we're in the will of God, we understand that God is totally in control. God doesn't allow anything to come into our lives that He is not in control of. And listen, nothing catches God by surprise. Come on, say that with me. Nothing catches God by surprise. It may catch us by surprise. It'll even catch the devil by surprise. But nothing catches God by surprise. When we are in the will of God, God is totally in control of everything. This is not just an occasional expression of thanks, but a continual lifestyle of thanksgiving. In other words, we don't just give thanks when it's convenient for us, but it becomes a lifestyle. When you make gratitude to the Lord, something that is natural in your heart, it becomes a lifestyle in which you're able to overcome everything that comes against you. The person who has developed a gratitude attitude is one who is thankful and grateful for every single thing that God is doing in his or her life every day. The Bible clearly teaches us to be content, no matter what the circumstances are. The Bible doesn't define, you know, to be content in certain seasons and not out of, and certain seasons we're not. It's saying that we should always be content. How do we know that? Philippians 4:11, Paul's saying, I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. The Amplified Bible describes being content like this. It says, satisfied to the point where you're not disturbed or disquieted. Satisfied to the point where you're not disturbed or disquieted. In other words, little things don't just come in and disrupt your life. When you turn on the news, it doesn't just come in and create fear over us. Situations that come in over that are beyond our control don't bring us to that point of insecurity of our relationship with the Lord. Take a moment to just check your attitude. Are you disturbed, disquieted? Your spirit is constantly in turmoil for the things that you want, what you lack, what's bugging you. There's a lot of things that bug us sometimes, and we allow those things to affect us and the way that we worship and the way that we live. It doesn't say that satisfied to the point where you don't want change, but satisfied until God brings change in our life. In other words, we're satisfied knowing that all things work together for good. That's what Philippians 4 and verse 6 is telling us. It sheds light on this area. It says, have no anxiety about anything, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, continue to let God know what you want. And then it says here in verse 7, the peace that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Here's what this paraphrase of these two verses is saying. It says, don't get yourself upset about everything. You know anybody like that? Don't get yourself upset about anything. My wife grew up in Australia. She has a saying for this. It says, don't get your knickers caught in a knot. Whenever I get upset about something, she says, Sergio, don't let your knickers get caught in a knot. Don't just let everything, you know, so affect you that it changes how you think, it changes how you walk, it changes how you see things, it changes the way you're supposed to react to things. No matter what's happening, pray about it and tell God your need while you're waiting for God to move. Be a thankful and grateful son or daughter for all that your heavenly Father has done for you already. You know what complaining does? It sets our minds on the things that we don't have, the places where we're not, the reason that we're waiting for so long, instead of taking that opportunity and saying, listen, I'm praying about this, but I'm also in the same time, Paul says, with thanksgiving, I'm making my request known before God. I'm expecting God to do something, but I'm not going to forget the faithfulness of God in my life. I'm not going to forget that God loves me. I'm not going to forget his promises to me. I'm never going to forget that God has never failed me. And so even though I'm waiting for this promise to come true, even though I'm waiting for God to save my household, even though I'm waiting for God to minister into my finances, even though I'm waiting for God to change the situation about me, to change the situation the way my boss thinks, to change the situation in the way my co-workers think, the way that my neighbors are thinking. Listen, even now, I'm going to worship and honor the Lord and praise and give thanksgiving to the Lord. We're doing that. You see, that's a mindset. That's a mindset of thanksgiving. It comes from deep within in saying, I'm not going to worry about what I don't have and what I'm still waiting for. I'm going to pray about what I'm waiting for, but I'm going to begin to thank the Lord on what I do have, how he has shown up in my life, and remind myself of his faithfulness in my life. Being thankful from the heart is necessary for receiving of God's continued blessing in our lives. Let me repeat it. Being thankful from the heart is necessary for the receiving of God's continued blessings in our lives. The Bible tells us this in this verse 6. It says this, have no anxiety or care. Tell God your need and be thankful. Isn't that simple? Have no anxiety or care. Tell God your need and be thankful. And then in verse 7, it's saying this. We see the result of following these principles in our life. You will have tremendous peace and contentment no matter what state you are in while you're waiting for God to work out His will in your life. I'm not going to establish myself on anxiety, let my mind wander into places that I have no control of. I am going to tell God what I need. Come on, we have to tell God what we need. It's not that He doesn't know, but it's okay to be specific with God. Come on, repeat this with me. It's okay to be specific with God. God's not going to be upset with me because I'm specific with Him. God, I need this situation. God, you know that, you know, I'm praying about this. I'm praying about it, Lord, as I'm reading Your Word and I'm allowing Your Word to direct me in this. Lord, I see in Your Word that You want me to have this promise in my life. Lord, as I'm praying for this, I'm being specific about this. Lord, I'm in the process also thanking You of what You've done. And so we begin to develop within us an attitude of culture. And then as we realize that God has all of our cares, We're telling God what we need. We're thankful about that. The peace of God, the assurance of God, the contentment of God's heart comes over us and it begins to minister into the place where we are. Romans 8:28, we know this. All things work together for good that are fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. All things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You must believe that even in the hard times, God can work into God's perfect plan for your life. Even in our hard times, even in the times we don't understand, that God is working something in. Listen, by the time we see something in the natural, it has already happened in the spiritual realm. So at times we want to see things happen in the natural. We want to see things happen, you know, that we can see, feel, and touch. Understanding first that it needs to take place in the spirit. Something has to break in the spirit in order for the Holy Spirit to come through. Remember when Daniel was praying? And it says, and as he was praying, he was crying his heart before the Lord. And when the angel showed up to Daniel, he said, listen, we've heard your prayers. But in the spiritual realm, something was taking place. There was a war that was going on. And God needed to take Satan out of that circumstance, out of the equation, in order for the Holy Spirit to come in and answer that prayer. And so as you're praying, don't be discouraged if you don't see the answer right away. God is doing something in the spirit. And you may not see change on the outside right away, but God is working His victory. He's working His power. He's working His assurance in the spiritual realm. God always wins. Come on, say that with me. God always wins. God always wins. You must believe that even in the hard times, God can work into God's plan for your life. Cast your care and be a thankful person. Take inventory each day of what you have instead of counting up all the things that you don't have. That's why so many people are dissatisfied with their lives, with the things, with their jobs, with their families. It's because you're constantly looking at what you don't have. You're constantly looking at the negative balance. Look at what God has done for your life. Count your blessings. Remember that song we used to sing? Count your blessings, name them one by one. There was something to those songs. Yeah. Come on, yes. We count them. And don't be afraid to take a pen and paper and write them down so you don't forget them. Go back to your list. Remember the goodness of the Lord. Take inventory. Meditate on what God has done in your life instead of what you're still waiting for him to do. Meditate on what God has done in your life, his faithfulness there. Your flesh wants you to concentrate on what you don't have. Your spirit wants you to ask God for what you don't have, yet concentrate on what you do have. Does that make sense? Come on. The flesh only says, I need, I need, I need, I need. The spirit says, yes, I know you need, so ask God. And then in the process, concentrate on the faithfulness, the goodness, the provision of God in your life. John 14 and verse 27 says this, stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly unsettled. Don't allow yourself to get there. You know, many times I have to tell myself when my mind begins to, you know, just get into this mindset of going away from the will of God, I have to stop myself and say, Sergio, you're not going to go there. And you begin to count the faithfulness of the Lord in your life and bring scripture into your mind. Fill your mind with scripture, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are profitable. Think on these things. Think on these things. Allow your mind to dwell on the goodness of God. Jesus left us a legacy of peace, and he wants us to use it. The secret of being content is to prayerfully ask God for what you want. Listen, stop beating around the bush in prayer trying to psychologically smooth over God so that you can get your way. You're never going to trick God to give you something that you already know is bad for you, and he's not going to give you. You know, sometimes we get into this thing where, you know, we're not specifically asking for something because we know already that it's out of the will of God, but we want to try to, you know, psychologically change God's mind. You know, if we can smooth him over with this, you know, eventually God will give in and I'll get my way. We don't want to go there, believe me. If God doesn't want you to be in a situation, if God doesn't want you to have something, trust him. Trust him that he knows what's best for your life. I'm about to strangle myself with this. You're never going to trick God to give you something that you already know is bad for you. And he won't give you. Instead, ask according to what God is saying about your desire, your prayer, in his word. As we pray, we're reading God's word. And listen, the Holy Spirit will always guide us into scripture that relates specifically to what we're praying for, what we're asking the Lord to do in our lives. And know this, that if it is right, he will bring it to pass at the right time. If it is not right, God will do something even better, even more than what you have asked for anyway. We must learn to trust God completely if we ever intend to enjoy peaceful living. It is good to trust God for something, but God is calling his people not only to trust him for something, but to trust him in everything. Not just for the thing that you're asking God to do in your life, but trust him for everything, in all seasons, in all things. In everything, give thanks to the Lord. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, Joseph is now speaking to his brothers who had severely mistreated him, and he says this to them. He says, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. How many of us know that God is able to turn all things around for his good? Somebody asked me the other day about a specific situation, and you know, there was someone that was actually caught in sin. They were in a sinning situation. There was another couple that was caught in a sinful situation, but there was something innocent that came out of that situation. And they were saying, well, what's the difference in this? I said, the difference is that sinful, that innocent person, that innocent child that came out of even the sin that was committed in the union of those two people. What I'm saying here is that God can take something that seems to be so ugly, so evilly formed, and transform it into something of beauty when he looks upon it and he begins to speak life into that situation. The very things that we think are awful right now very often can turn out to be a great blessing. The greatest trial can develop in you the greatest faith. Too often, we can only see as far as our nose. Some of us can see a little bit farther than others. And we assume that anything that doesn't feel good isn't good, because we're a being that works on feelings. We react to feelings. But God sees from the beginning to the end, because he is the beginning and the end, and he knows many things that we don't know. We know in part, but God is and God knows the all. And so as we're trusting, we're saying, God, I may not be able to see this, but I'm going to trust you in this because you see the end of this, even though I'm only looking at the beginning. Exercise doesn't feel good, but it's good. Come on. When a rebellious child receives a spanking, it doesn't feel good, but it's good. Not child abuse. Hebrews 12 teaches us that no chastening for the present seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, later on, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Perhaps we need to learn to be more concerned with later on than with right now. Hebrews 12 also tells us that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, but is now seated at the right hand of God. So let's be willing to endure for a season if we will sit at the right hand of the authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ one day. The secret to maintaining a thankful heart throughout your life is to trust God. I know that that seems like it's an easy thing to talk about, but it becomes something that is a lifestyle, and we train ourselves to do through the Word of God. It only comes through training of the Word and prayer. The Word and prayer. In the Word, God reveals to us his love for us. He reveals to us his plans for our lives. He reveals his character to us. He reveals to us the power of the Holy Spirit that has been placed in our lives. And as he continues to do that and shows us that, we learn to trust him. And as we're praying out what we're reading, what God is teaching us, the Holy Spirit is revealing to us in his Word, and we're praying about those things, we learn to trust God more than just what we can feel and touch, but knowing that God is and always will be a faithful God that is love, that loves us and wants to continue to prosper us in our lives according to his will. Hide yourself in the secret place in him. God loves you. You ever stop and just ponder on the fact that God loves you? The world is seeking love in so many unbenefited ways and really corrupted what love is all about. But truly, as people of God, to understand that God loves us is something that would bring gratitude to our hearts as we're walking this journey. He's a good God who only does good things. Be thankful and content, knowing that his way is perfect, and he brings with him a great reward for those who trust in him. While you're waiting for God to move, be very grateful and thankful for what God has already done for you. As you're waiting for God to move, be very grateful and thankful for what God has already done for you. Stand with me. I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed, as we just allow the Holy Spirit to move within our spirit and our heart, and to bring our minds into submission to what he's saying right now. So often we allow ourselves to be consumed by circumstantial things, these circumstantial events around us. Circumstantial events last for a moment, but God's love and peace are enduring forever. When Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you," there is something of eternal sense in which Jesus is leaving with us. He's not just removing himself from the equation and saying, "I'll see you one day in heaven. He's saying, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to assure you that my Holy Spirit is going to guide you in your decisions. Father, we thank you for the way you provide for every area of our life. Instead of complaining about what we have and don't have, we choose to be grateful in everything. You've been good to us, God. You've assured us. And that, Lord, you allow us to experience things. And sometimes, Lord, these things are not flesh gratifying. They're unpleasant. But you allow us to go through them, Lord, so that we can see your hand, your beauty, God, shine upon us, your hand guiding us, and your great love that covers us. So, God, even though we don't understand certain things, we pray, Lord, that you will allow us to cast our care upon you, to walk in gratefulness. Holy Spirit, teach us to be thankful. Holy Spirit, teach us, Lord, the goodness of the Lord in our life. That, Lord, if you've done nothing else in our life, but you've written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is more than enough that will set us apart for all of eternity. So, God, so often we forget to thank you for Jesus and salvation. Right now, God, we just want to thank you for salvation in our lives. We thank you for the price that you paid. We thank you for your blood that was shed for us. We thank you, Lord, that you took our sin and nailed it to the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you became the sacrifice for us on the cross that day, that we might receive your goodness, your favor, your forgiveness, and that your love, Father, would reach the innermost depth of our being, the area in which the enemy tried to destroy. God, I pray, breathe forth life in us. Help us to walk in gratefulness and gratitude, God, thanking you every day, every moment. From the moment we open our eyes to the moment we go to sleep at night, God, and everything in between, we pray, Lord, that our life would be filled with gratitude. Lord, as we're asking of you, as we're praying, Lord, in the Spirit according to your will, we pray that you will set our hearts and our minds on the goodness of God. And everything, Lord, that you have supplied for us. Father, we don't want to be a complaining people. We want to be a people, Lord, that is walking in gratitude to the power of Jesus Christ. So, Holy Spirit, set our minds on the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things, Lord, that are beneficial for us. Set our minds on the love of Jesus. Set our minds, Lord, on the fact that, Lord, you would not allow us just to drift away, but, Lord, you're constantly bringing us back to you, Lord. We thank you. We love you, Jesus. And in this season, Lord, as we experience holidays, as we experience people of every walk, of every race, people, Lord, that serve foreign gods, Lord, I pray that the love of Jesus will shine through us, that we're not just shunning them away. God, forgive us of our selfishness at times, where all we're looking at is ourselves. But God, cast our eyes upon the cross and what you've done for us. And give us a broader vision, Lord, of how you see people. So God, I pray in this season, show us, God, how we can reflect the love of Christ to a world that is needy, a world that is seeking the truth. I pray, Lord, that we will be your hand extended. We will be vessels of thankfulness before you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. God bless you.